Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harris. I'm very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic weekend ahead of you guys. So I want to do the 5 o'clock hour a little bit differently today. It's a Friday. It's before a long weekend. The Royals had an off day yesterday. We can do the 5 o'clock hour a little bit differently. I am a little bit sad today. The reason I am a little bit sad is Around the Horn had its last episode. Now, I am excited to get off, to go home, and watch the final episode of Around the Horn. It is one of those shows that was very instrumental in me becoming more and more of a sports fan. And it was just one of those shows that I think we kind of take some of these things for granted the older we get. And now there's just so much content everywhere. I mean, at this point, you got podcasts, you got sports talk radio, you got social media. There are sports opinions that are constantly being thrown your way that I think it's kind of hard to remember and go back to a time of when PTI, Around the Horn, and maybe your one or two sports talk shows, that's where you got your information from. I know it doesn't seem like it anymore, but the idea of PTI was such a mind-blowing concept when it debuted. It was two of the most respected sports journalists in America, and they were going to sit down every day, recap what had happened last night, talk about the top stories, and also look ahead to what was coming up for the next evening. And they did a great job, I think, of being informative, also being entertaining, having the biggest guest of the day, of the times, to come on their show. And when Around the Horn, which is essentially a spinoff of PTI, if you remember Tony Reale, he was stat boy on the original PTI. He then left to take over Around the Horn. And Around the Horn took that same concept of having two of the most respected sports columnists in the country and then having them discuss and debate and talk about the top stories for the day. So Around the Horn is over. It premiered on November 4th of 2002. The show was on for 23 years. There were 4,953 episodes of Around the Horn. They had 61 different participants. Number one, Woody Page had the most wins ever on Around the Horn. Tim Kalashaw was number two. Bill Plaschke was number three. Kevin Blackstone was number four. And J.A. Adande. Those are the five most wins in Around the Horn history. I do feel like part of our childhood and our early teens kind of died today. I think it is hard for the next generation past us. I don't know what they're, Gen Z or whatever they, I don't know their name. I think it's hard for them to understand that we had kind of centralized hubs for pop culture. Like, it's hard for them to understand, Rob, that you and I, if you wanted to hear a song, you would hear the song on television. And coming home and watching TRL or watching 106 and Park was a really, really big deal. Hey, if you wanted to know what happened in sports while you were at school, you didn't have access to your phone or the internet or all of those things. You got your news at 5 o'clock on SportsCenter, and they would tell you about the big trade. They would give you reaction to the big trade. They would get you ready for the Eastern Conference Finals that was coming up. They would ask the big questions of what were happening in the NFL. And I understand why the business changed, and I think in some ways the business had to change because how we consume content changed with the internet and with podcasts and streaming and all of those things. But Around the Horn was an innovative show. PTI was an innovative show. I don't know if we've innovated in sports media in quite some time. And maybe there just is no more evolution to happen. Hey, there's only so many different ways you can package people talking about the NFL or people talking about the NBA. But man, in 2001, 2002, when they debuted Around the Horn and PTI, it is hard to explain how popular those shows were and just the day-to-day impact that I think both of those shows had.
It was, honestly, the perfect, you know, storm. And maybe this is just our age in a good way showing, but it was like you got home from school and it was Around the Horn, PTI, back to back. So it wasn't what it is now. Me and you didn't wake up in 2007 and check social media to see what happened the night before. You would go to school, you would talk to your friends. Hey, did you catch the end of that, you know, Thunder and Wolves game? No, no. Then you'd get home and you'd have Reale, Woody Page, Jackie McMullen, Tim Kalashaw. You'd have these people debating the biggest sports topics of the day. And then they would go to PTI. And it was basically six varying opinions on like the biggest 20 stories leading into SportsCenter. And SportsCenter at that time was basically a scene setter for what's coming up that night. Hey, you know, we're done with the talk shows. Coming up tonight, we got, you know, Royals and Guardians, whatever the thing. It was a really cool moment in time. And I think now people don't understand that are under 25, under 30, don't really grasp it because everything happens on their phone. Everything. It has made our job easier. Everything happens on your phone. But there was like, there is no, hey, you got to see SportsCenter, see this Jordan dunk. Hey, you want to hear what Michael Wilbon had to say, so you got to be watching PTI. Hey, can you believe this news broke at 11:35 in the afternoon? You had to be watching Around the Horn. They were going to lead with it. This happened earlier today. Nowadays, everything is just streamlined. So there is no, I want to watch this show to get their opinion, because there's a chance by the time the show airs, their opinion is moot. It's just not the way it used to be.
I do want us to have this conversation because I think this is a very important conversation. I do think that in some ways we are at a crossroads, I think, with what the average consumer wants sports media to be. And I know that all of you guys are not fans of the NBA, but this year I think the NBA fan was really starting to push back in a way on how the league is being covered. I will never forget this. I'm sitting there and I'm watching the All-Star game this year. And the All-Star game was trying something new. You know, they were trying the kind of tournament format or whatever. They then had Draymond on the broadcast. And every time they cut to Draymond, Draymond is telling you how bad of an idea this is. And I'm sitting there thinking, then why are you even here then? That I do think in some ways, and we talked about this a couple of days ago when Ladd was here, I actually think we know how to talk and cover football. I think whatever kind of football coverage you're into, I think there is a really good market for it. If you don't want the hot takes, if you want really deep analytical breakdowns of people that can teach you the X's and O's of football, I think there's a lot of really smart people that do that. If you want more of the opinions and more of the debates, I think that lane exists when it comes to football. I'm not really sure if we have that when it comes to the other sports. I love the NBA. I don't really care to constantly debate where LeBron ranks all time. We can't talk about the game that happened yesterday. We can't talk about, hey, how can this team manage it and make it in the playoffs? What do they need? We just don't have those conversations enough. That I do think that the average sports consumer is telling you, a debate shows we don't want any more of them. That I do think there is a sort of getting back to just good conversation, good story building, good dialogue when it comes to those things. Now, what will that mean? Obviously, it remains to be seen. I also think there is some form of hypocrisy. I'll use it in a music sense because you probably hear this. I hear music fans or movie fans. Oh, well, we want these kind. We want original movies. Well, Mission Impossible 9 is about to make $500 million this weekend. I mean, you kind of want original movies, but there also is a comfort that you feel. Oh, well, I want deep lyrical music. You listen to Soulja Boy. No, you don't want deep lyrical music. That I do think people, when it comes to sports media, say they want a certain type of sports media. But then when I see the people that are really, really popular at sports media, they are nothing like what I think the public communicates what they want sports media to be.
I think, and I'll speak for myself here, I think there's room in the medium for both. And I think what frustrates people like me, to use all three of your analogies, is we are now in a society where it's only catering to the one. Like with movies, you know I love Marvel. Marvel is essentially pumping out the same movie every single time. It's a new superhero, it's a new story, it's a new villain, but at its core, it's good guy beats bad guy. I know that going in every movie. But I can also want to go to the movies to see a really good story like Oppenheimer, or laugh and enjoy myself like Barbie, or I can go and want to enjoy those things. But right now, movie studios are basically only greenlighting Disney and, you know, some connectivity, whether it be a sequel or a spinoff to an old movie. I think there's room in the medium for both. In music, hey, I can go out and love to hear Flo Rida, but also I can, you know, go on a walk or exercise and like to hear lyrical music. With sports media, I don't mind if Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, these hot take artists, for lack of a better term, exist. That's cool. But it feels like, and you're right, football's a little bit different. Outside of football, if I want to find a different avenue, it doesn't really exist. In basketball, in college sports, it's real bad. If I want to go find that other entity, it does not exist. So I have to go to Stephen A., who tells me Nolan Richardson's dead.
But let me ask you this, and I think this is a legitimate question. How do you break through if that's not who you are? Let's say that that's not what you want to be, right? Let's say that right now you are a really smart 25-year-old person that says, I don't want to be Skip Bayless. I don't want to be Stephen A. Smith. I want to give good, reasonable sports opinions. Do you think you can move up in the market that way? And I'm not saying just in terms of the higher-ups. I mean, do you think you can cut through the noise, and do you think that you can make it to be what some of those top guys are? Because we mentioned this earlier. For all the people that tell me they hate Stephen A. Smith, and they hate Skip Bayless, and they hate this kind of sports medium, we don't really see too many guys that are the opposite of those people that kind of make it to that level. Who is that person? If you're telling me it's Scott Van Pelt, who's the person that does that under the age of 40? Who's that 37-year-old, 38-year-old person that you think is in that same vein? Because I love Nick, but Nick does a debate show. Nick does the same thing that Skip does, the same things that Stephen A. Smith does. They have different styles, but First Things First is First Take. It is just it's just on a different channel. It is the exact same show as First Take. Who is that person? How does that person exist in sports media today? How do people care about those people? Because, unfortunately, you and I can sit here and break down the game from the WNBA. I don't think anybody would care. We could do a Caitlin Clark pushes Angel Reese topic, and it generates it. Do people really want that kind of content, or do people want the storylines, the headlines, the TMZ culture? Because those are the stories, ultimately, that always tend to break through.
I think we are starting to venture into a little bit of chicken and egg territory here. Because you're right. There is not me and you are, 35 years old-ish. There is not a 35-year-old who doesn't at least dabble. Maybe to different levels, but to some level dabble in the hot take culture. But like I said, with chicken or egg, where's the platform that is going to go out and support the non-hot takers? Like, right now, if you are someone our age, and you're trying to break through the noise, and you want to get on the biggest platforms, Fox, ESPN, they have all invested in the other side. So I think it's a little bit of chicken and egg. Yeah, I don't think there are any 35-year-olds doing that type of content. I think even Barstool, to an extent, gets a little hot takey. But I think that exists only because no one is investing in the, hey, we want well-reasoned sports debate shows that aren't just people screaming at each other. I think we've ventured into chicken or egg. If the studios, the executives, the big wigs invested in it, I think there's a market for it. But right now, much like movies, hey, we're taking the road less traveled that we know it's cash and paychecks. We're taking the easier path. I do believe if people invested in this, we would start having answers to your questions. But it's chicken or egg. What comes first? People wanting to do that or people investing in that?
Text line 913-586-7965. I'd be really curious to hear what you guys think about this topic. Today was the final episode of Around the Horn. I always really enjoyed Around the Horn. I'm very much looking forward to watching the final episode later today when I get a chance. We also have game two of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals between the Knicks and the Pacers. We also have a very important game coming up later today as the Royals start their series against the Minnesota Twins. Why don't we do the hits read, and we'll start with the Royals, who are on the road playing the Minnesota Twins.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Can you notice the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as you mentioned, the top story today in Kansas City is the Kansas City Royals. We'll get to the on-the-field product in a minute, because the biggest news of the Royals today is they have DFA'd Hunter Renfroe. Everyone's whipping boy is on the team no more. Carrington, the team, will eat $7.6 million this year to have Hunter Renfroe go away. Nick Lofton was called up in a corresponding move. Carrington, does the Royals organization, management, the whole deal deserve credit for moving on and eating the money with Hunter Renfroe, or is this just what it costs to be good at baseball at a major league level?
Both. I think more so this is what it costs. I don't think that you can identify that your offense is a problem and also continue to let Hunter Renfroe get at bats. He's a major part of the problem. Hunter Renfroe, in two seasons, hit .219 with a .286 on-base percentage so far this season. I mean, he is one of the worst offensive players in Major League Baseball. I don't say that to be hyperbolic. This is not a hot take. Funny enough, we were just talking about it. Hunter Renfroe has no home runs this season, four RBIs. He doesn't walk. He strikes out. He strikes out on average about once every four plate appearances this season. He doesn't hit for power, doesn't drive in runs, and was turning into a below average defensive player. I mean, what are we doing here? You are telling me that you guys are a playoff team. You guys are telling me that you think you got a chance to win the division. Well, you can't win the division if Hunter Renfroe is getting ABs. The Royals are very much in a fight. The Royals, Guardians, and Twins are all tied for the same number of games back. They're all five games back. Now, the Twins, they play like one fewer game. You guys get the point I'm making. I mean, if you're looking at the American League, I mean, there is only two teams in the American League that have won more games than the Royals, the Tigers in their division and the Yankees. Other than that, you're just jumbled up. You're jumbled up with Seattle. You're jumbled up with Cleveland, Minnesota, Toronto, Boston. All of those teams are in the same sphere, so to speak. So how do you separate yourself? What are the improvements that you need to make to win 87, 88 games? Sometimes I think we do this enough with baseball, and I certainly get why we do this. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's just one game. Well, I mean, that one game is the difference in 86 wins and 87 wins. That could be the difference in you being the second wild card team or being the first wild card team and you host a series. That could be the difference in you losing your division and winning your division. That's how razor thin the margins are this year. No one has really broke free. Now, maybe the Tigers end up doing it, but I don't really see anybody else breaking free. This Guardians team's not winning 92 games this year. This Twins team's not winning 92 games. The conversation that we have about the Royals, they're having the same conversations. The Guardians have a negative run differential. The Twins have been red hot and are still five games back in their division. These other three cities are in the exact same spot that you are. So every little bit matters. You couldn't afford to continue to give Hunter Renfroe opportunities. You just couldn't. He's at 182. He has no home runs. He gives you no extra base power, doesn't drive in runs, is a minus defender. And no. So, yes, I will give the Royals some credit because the Royals did eat $7.5 million today. And that is unusual for this organization to do so. But I do think that John Sherman has kind of put his money where his mouth is and put some hustle behind that muscle, so to speak. And if you're telling me to take you guys seriously and you think you can make the postseason and it's about getting to the dance, and once you get to the dance, anything can happen, you are not going to get to the dance continuing to give Hunter Renfro opportunities on this team.
And that's where I'm at. And I don't want to sound like a shill for John Sherman, but Carrington, you and I saw enough Royals teams in the past, even ones that were okay, and they keep trotting out players that are expensive and pushing forward because money. Like, I know now we wax poetically about 2014 and 2015, and we should. Those are fantastic years. Do you know that in 2016, Omar Infante was still on the opening day roster? Omar Infante, who stunk. He was mid at best in 2014 and bad in 2015. That was their opening day second baseman in 2016. Why do you think that was? Was it because they thought Omar Infante at 30-plus about to turn a corner? Nope. It's because they gave him 4 years at $30 million, and you're getting paid, go out there and play, my man. That's how the old regime handled it. Hunter Renfro is owed $7 million. Hey, this is the end of the line. We can't keep doing this. And to eat that money, and there will likely be another move this summer or maybe two moves this summer where they are taking on more payroll, is a sign that John Sherman he's practicing what he preaches, because he has said he wants to see a winner in Kansas City. But all the stadium stuff aside, when he actually talks about the ball club, and not its future of location, but the actual ball club, what he talks about is wanting to build a winner, wanting to see winning baseball in Kansas City, and all those things. And eating money with Hunter Renfro to likely take on salary another way later in the summer is a sign that he is putting his money where his mouth is. And I respect that, because there were times in the past where ownership and general managers just said, hey, we got to keep rolling this guy out there because his check was so big.
I understand why we do it, and I don't want to take credit away from it. It is, sports are one of the very unique things that we give business owners credit for doing what you should do to run a successful business. Like, if the goal of your business is to win a championship, this was something that needed to be done. You're a billionaire. We're arguing about $7.5 million for an employee that wasn't doing his end of the bargain. So I get it. Again, I'm not here to take away credit from John Sherman. Today is a good day if you are a Royals fan. They could not continue to give him at bats. But I mean, I'm just not really just going to go out of my way. I mean, we don't do this in the NFL. We don't do this in the NFL when this kind of stuff happens. Teams cut players who are underperforming all the time. Like, oh man, you know what, Clark Hunt? Hey, you know what? That's what you're supposed to do. It's over. Go somewhere. Take your money. I mean, hey, you got $7.5 million to get fired today. That's a great severance package. That's a phenomenal one.
I will say it's a little different in the NFL, because the restructure is basically the owner doing that. Hey, here's more money now to go away later. We never phrase it that way, but honestly always the same. And we do credit the players for taking it.
No,
we
I'm with it. You. I'm just saying, is next year, whenever they fire Juwan Taylor, which is what they're going to do, we are not going to pat Clark Hunt on the back. Like, man, you know what? I mean, you did a really good job today. No, that's what you were supposed to do. It was time. Like, look at it. It's over. There's no other conversation to have. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence, it's a commitment your local Ford stores share, and that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back onto the show. All right, this is what we're going to do. I asked Rob earlier to make a list. I'm going to have Rob give you guys the list. Now, if you've been cheering for the Royals, there have been a bunch of Hunter Renfros. A bunch of Hunter Renfros. Royals come in. They spend a little money on a veteran. You're kind of on the fence about it, but you want to be excited, right? It's your team. They're spending a little bit of money. I mean, I ain't never going to turn down the Royals spending a little money. We had too many years where we had to fight to get them to spend money. So I asked Rob to make us his lineup of some of the worst contracts that they've given out. And now it's time for Rob to give you guys that list. Hit it, Rob.
Carrington, I have 9 players in the field, a DH, and a starting pitcher for the worst contracts in Royals baseball history. Let's start behind the dish with Benito Santiago.
Former Giant.
He was old when the Royals signed him.
Yeah.
I mean, that 04 offseason featured a lot of let's add old sexy names and hope it works. Benito Santiago was one of those. It didn't work.
I mean, usually when you're paying a guy for what he used to be, When you're doing that, you're normally fighting from a bad place, brother.
That was the Allard Baird special. Pay for what they used to be and add prospects with no future. At first base, Lucas Duda.
Oh, Lucas Duda made this list?
Duda made the list.
What was his deal?
I mean,
it couldn't have been good.
It wasn't. I don't think he made it through the season on a 1-year contract, and he was bad for the Royals. Like, bad, bad. Now, I think part of the reason they ejected is because the team was so bad, they just thought, screw it, we'll start losing. But Lucas Duda was a Royal for a minute, and it was a bad minute.
No, it's not good. I mean, his deal wasn't that bad. 1 year, $3.5 million.
Did he make it to the All-Star break?
I mean, I'm not going to argue that, but 1 year, $3.5, that ain't the worst. I mean, that's Hunter Dozier is getting paid double that to just be off the team at Memorial Day.
Speaking of Hunter Dozier, he's my third baseman. That was I'm betting, I don't know. We'll never know the answer to this. John Sherman had taken over the Royals. One of his first contracts he doled out under the Dayton Moore era was giving Hunter Dozier an extension. I'm starting to think that might be the reason why Dayton Moore is doing a speaking circuit and might run for political office and not GM anymore. It's because he went to John Sherman and said, I need that Hunter Dozier money.
I'm telling you what happened. You know, you just take off. You know, you're kind of getting a feel for the terrain. Dayton comes to you and says, hey, let's pay this guy. And you're like, all right, cool. And then you start to see that money just getting lit on fire. I know John Sherman looked at him like, man, he lied to me, man. That's when the fracture in their relationship started, the Hunter Dozier deal.
At second base on my team, Omar Infante.
I can't argue that.
Again,
one.
We wax poetically about it now because 14 and 15, flags fly forever. Omar Infante was bad on those teams.
I can't argue that, brother.
I know this show tried to make him an all-star, but that's a bit. That is not because of his ability.
No, for sure. I'm looking at this. Yo, Hunter Dozier made so much money playing baseball. How much money career earnings do you think that Hunter Dozier made in his life playing baseball for the Royals? How much do you think he made?
50 mil?
I'm going to pull it up here for you, brother.
50 mil's my guess.
Hunter Dozier. Hunter Dozier made $28.6 million to play baseball.
Live a long life.
All played for the Royals.
Yeah, he ended his career and his career was over.
Yeah, we're not even counting the money that Hunter Dozier got when he was like a minor league player when he got signed. Yo, Hunter Dozier.
He had an endorsement deal, by the way.
Yeah, for sure he did. A winner.
By the way, at shortstop on this terrible team is Unieski Betancourt. I mostly just hated Unieski Betancourt because he is everything I don't like in baseball players. Free swing in, strike out, can't get on base, mediocre defense.
Oh, the Royals love those kind of guys.
He was there. That was how the Royals feasted for years. And then at the end, he got brought back to block Alcides Escobar in the system. And you're like, what are we doing? Why do we need more uni in our lives?
You remember there was a stretch there where we used to be like, I don't think the Royals like guys that can walk. You remember that?
It was like an actual conversation we had.
It was like, this has to be an organizational thing. Like, they just don't value walks. How? How is that not important to you guys?
In the outfield, the aforementioned Hunter Renfroe. It was a 50-50 proposition. It worked. It didn't.
It didn't work at all.
It didn't work at all.
I mean, almost instantly didn't work.
I understand the vision. The vision didn't come through, and you gave him a lot. And then when he was bad last year, the player option kicked in. He's not turning down free money to be bad, so that he's in the outfield. But I will credit Hunter Renfroe for this. He's not the most expensive bad Royals outfielder in history because standing next to him out there are two doozies. Let's start with Jose Guillen.
Jose Guillen's the worst contract they've ever given out as an organization.
It's probably the worst Dayton ever gave out. And
it's the worst anybody. There's no worse deal than they gave for the Jose Guillen deal. Nothing. There's not
was
one.
It was 3 years, $33 million.
It's not good, brother.
I mean, it's bad. It's real bad.
No, I'm telling you, it's the worst contract they ever gave out.
I actually think, by pure volume, yes, that's correct. But I think the
3 years, $36 million. Listen to this. 3 years, $36 million. He was suspended for the first 15 games. No!
Then
he was off the team. Just bad, 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 bad.
Another guy who just didn't walk. They had a type.
No, for sure.
Speaking of bad outfield contracts, this one's not as bad as Jose Guillen, but it's bad. Juan Gonzalez.
I'm telling you right now, the high school at C.Dot Harrison used to love Juan Gonzalez. Like the whole, you know, it was that, oh, hey, he's going to join us for this last year and he's going to put up. Because you remember, if you go back, the last season before he came to the Royals, he was actually really good that last year.
He was an all-star.
Yeah, let me go back. So he joined the Royals in 2004. In 2003, Juan Gonzalez hit 27 home runs, 70 RBIs, and hit 294. You're thinking, the Royals add this guy to their lineup. They got something. He played 33 games for the Royals, hit 5 home runs, 17 RBIs. That's what he did.
In hindsight, that good year, that age, may have been steroids. I mean, that's
he wasn't in the league for too much longer after that.
Peak steroid time.
He wasn't in the league and too much longer.
How old was he in 03? 35, 36, 37?
I already left the thing. It's so crazy back then. I mean, the money now was nothing. They gave him a one-year $4.5 million deal. But $4.5 million back in 04 is like a $15 million contract.
And the designated hitter on this team, Brandon Moss.
Oh, that's a good one. B-Moss.
Morales had left. It was one last run with the core, and they thought Brandon Moss would be part of the push over the edge. He wasn't. And your starting pitcher on this terrible, terrible contract team, Scott Ellerton.
Scott Ellerton's a great one. Scott Ellerton.
Scott Ellerton might be the worst opening day starter in the history of baseball. I want that to sink. I don't know who started for the Rockies on opening day this year. That guy is better than Scott Ellerton.
The Royals gave Scott Ellerton 2 years, $8 million. He had a 6 ERA when they got rid of him.
It wasn't like he was gangbusters when they added him, by the way.
You know what? The Royals, they went on a spending spree. Listen to this. They announced all four of these players on the same day. Ellerton, Grizzalonic, Minkiewicz, and Paul Bacco. That was their big additions heading into the 2006 season. These were all these. They signed these players on December 16th of 2005. If you would
that's
like to know when it was.
They probably walked out at Royals Fan Fest and said, look what we've done.
No, that is what happened.
Allard Baird came out at, Bartle Hall. And he was like, good news, everyone. Minkiewicz, Bacco, and Ellerton are Royals.
I mean, it just makes so much sense now. I'm going back and I'm looking at the salaries. I just pulled it up. So for the 06 team, Mike Sweeney made $11 million. And then these are their five highest paid players. Let you know how long ago this was. Mike Sweeney was number one. So Mike Sweeney's contract was 22% of their salary cap at $11 million. Reggie Sanders was second on the team at $5 million. Mark Redman at 4.9, Scott Ellerton and Mark Grizzalonic both made $4 million. And then Tony Graffinino, he played third base for them. He made $2 million. That was, you know what? During this time where the Yankees and the Red Sox and those teams were spending money, it actually makes sense why the Royals weren't good back then.
Someone points out, I made an omission. Ian Kennedy should also be on this list.
Oh, 100%.
I didn't do a whole five-man rotation, but Kennedy would be on it.
No, I can't argue that. I'm trying to pull up the Red Sox deal. The Red Sox three highest paid players in 2006 were Manny Ramirez, Curt Schilling, and Jason Varitek. So if you want to maybe know the difference in quality in those two teams. David Ortiz, who was the ninth highest paid Red Sox, would have been the second highest paid Royal. They also had this pitcher you might have heard of. Josh Beckett was on that team. He would have also been the second highest paid Royal back then.
Yeah, but the Royals had far less steroid users.
What happened to Josh Beckett?
He got hurt at the end of his career.
Yeah, and I liked Josh Beckett. Yeah, I liked him.
Was he World Series MVP that year?
I don't remember, but he was good, though. He was the World Series MVP back in 2003.
Yeah, that Marlins team beat the Yankees. Yeah. I remember that was a big deal because their payroll was like peanuts.
Shout out to Josh Beckett. What do you think Josh Beckett's doing right now? Definitely a coach.
Counting somewhere. His money is what he should be doing every day.
Definitely a coach somewhere. I don't know where he coached him, but I'm telling you right now, Josh Beckett is a coach. He's coaching somebody. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. I'm sure we'll talk about this more next week, but we're kind of running out of time. Pro Football Focus actually went back and they have been going through every position in the NFL and giving you their top 32. So we haven't even argued about the quarterback rankings on the list. I'd be very excited to do that with you guys next week. We'll do that. Earlier, check out the podcast page, The Athletic. They've been doing a really cool it's 25 years since the turn of the century, 2025. So they've been doing like a lot of top 25 lists. These were the 25 best players in college football. These were, the 25 best games, the 25 best coaches. So I would highly encourage you guys to check all of that out if you would like to. Rob, let's at least end the week talking about this. This is a really, I don't want to say really important. It's May, so it's as important as a May series can be. But if you look at the American League Central right now and how kind of jumbled up it is, and this actually matters for the Royals. So the Guardians are 27 and 22. So are the Twins, and the Royals are 28 and 23. So they are all jumbled up. All of them are 5 games back of the Detroit Tigers. If the Royals can put together a really strong 10 days, the Royals could be 1 game back of the American League Central by this time 2 weeks from now. They have 3 games coming up against the Twins. They have a 3-game set in the middle against the Cincinnati Reds at Kauffman. And then next weekend, in what should be one of the biggest weekends that the Royals are going to have with the Big Slick in town, they got the Tigers coming into town, the best team in the American League. So you got 6 games in your division coming up in the next 9. If the Royals can get hot again and go on a little bit of a run, like how you make up ground in your division is in these head-to-head matchups. Win this series against the Minnesota Twins, win the series coming up next weekend against the Detroit Tigers. Next thing you know, you look up and you're 2 games back in the American League Central as we head into the 1st of June. So this is a really important stretch for the Royals and how they're going to navigate this the next 10 days or so.
I know this comes from like the duh department because winning division games is always of the utmost importance. Not that you don't want to win all the games, but division games hold a higher meaning. With how good the AL Central is, you really can't be afford to be dropping games to those teams. Like, yes, the Royals failed to win the series, you know, last weekend against the Cardinals. And obviously losing is bad, but losing series to the Twins and Tigers is far more harmful to your end goal than it is losing games to the Red Sox or the Cardinals. They are in the best division in baseball right now, and it's a jumbled up mess. If you can take 2 or 3 from Minnesota, now you can kind of put them in your rearview mirror. And then you have Detroit, like you said, for Big Slick Weekend, who I think might be the best team in the AL. But if you can beat Detroit for 2 or 3, a lot easier said than done, you're right in the heart of the Central race, and you've done it with basically no offense. And me, you, Vern, everyone at the station believes they're going to add offense maybe once, twice, 3 times in some form or fashion this season via deadline, Caglione, whatever. Like, if you can really start to separate from the pack in your own division, that's the way to make ground up fast. And this is the window to do it. Like, the Red Series, I don't want to say it's unimportant, but if they were to win 2 of these series and lose a 3rd series, you don't care what happens to the Red Series.
Yeah,
you
want
to win the Twins and Tiger series.
Yeah. Sure. As we head into the weekend, this is a very important question. Right now, 5 of the 10 escaped inmates in New Orleans have been captured. I'm going to set the over-under for the weekend at 1.5. Are you taking the over or the under? I'm setting it right now at 1.5. They've already caught half of these boys. They already back in lockup. When we give you an update on Tuesday, when we're back, I think one of them gets caught this weekend. Somebody gonna be moving sloppy. I don't know who it is, but I'm telling you right now, somebody gonna be moving sloppy this weekend. They're going to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and they're getting arrested. I'm going with the under. I'm going with 1. What you got?
Give me the over. These guys have been too dumb at every step. Over. Give me 2 get caught.
Yeah, like, why are you still in the city? If you're in New Orleans right now for the weekend, you need to be trying to get out of the city. You've had 10 days to get out of the city. You're still there. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun. I hope that the weather isn't too bad for you. Whatever your plans are for the holiday weekend, I hope that you have a great weekend. I'll catch up with you guys on Tuesday. Take care of yourself, and I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America. America.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.